Books of the Bible. The book of James is much like Proverbs for the New Testament, employing a concise and memorable style with a simple yet profound message. Christians should think and act like Christians. It is very easy to understand, but exceptionally difficult to obey. This ought to lead us to repentance and a fresh reliance upon the grace of God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Should have known I was right. I'm a talk show host. This is Wretched Radio. Wanted to make sure that my representation of Proverbs was accurate. When somebody asked, hey, do I with somebody, all they do is just argue about everything. And I said the Proverbs would advise there are times with people like that, you have to limit your exposure to them. I didn't say ghost them. I didn't say that you just cut them off. I said that you've got to limit your exposure so that they don't rub off on you, which is exactly what the Proverbs talk about too. You get engaged, you get embroiled with it. You become like the company with whom you hang. That is why the choosing of friends is right up front in the Proverbs. Son, choose your friends wisely. Why? Because you affect them, they affect you. And if they are somebody who is quarrelsome, they will not do you well. You will get embroiled in these conversations. You're going to become like them. And you can keep your distance. Proverbs 20, verse 3. It's an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife. But every fool will be quarreling. That is how the Proverbs refer to the quarrelsome person. They're foolish, they're foolish, they're foolish. And I do hate to bring this up, but I'm gonna, because it's in the Bible. Do you know who is usually identified as somebody who is quarrelsome? Sorry, I'm just telling you, there's at least four, I think closer to six verses where the quarrelsome wife is identified. Now, she's not the only one who can be quarrelsome, most certainly, but it identifies that being a quarrelsome wife really makes a household rough. It's better to live in the corner of an attic than in the house with a quarrelsome and contentious wife. A contentious wife is like a constant dripping. I think it is safe to say, this is not an accusation that every single woman on the planet is quarrelsome, but it does indicate that that particular sin might be more of a propensity for the gals than it is for the guys. 877-282-2337.
All right, this question is from Becca. Todd, I had an abortion 11 years ago. I know I've been saved and forgiven through Jesus, and most days I don't even think about that life. But then I start to feel guilty for not. So I force myself to imagine who the baby would be and think about what life would have been like, and this causes me to be depressed for a few days. Is this right?
This is one of those scenarios that I would be very foolish to speak directly into her situation because I don't know enough. So let me just speak about a woman who's experienced an abortion in general terms, and then you can make the application as you see fit. So this is not a direct response. This is a general commentary on women who have experienced that sin. Is it right to feel guilty that you had that abortion? And the answer is, it's not right. Now, I do believe you can still feel regret. I don't think regret has to be sinful, but you have to keep focusing on remembering white as snow, though your sins are as scarlet, he has made you clean. And so you need to remember, you got to find that line between experiencing remorse, because it can be something that when we look back on certain things that we've done in the past, it can make you feel bad, but it can't make you feel guilty. Now, there's another aspect to this. This is something I believe I learned from Kim Jeffries, who is, I believe, still a part of a post-abortion ministry. That Kim said that sometimes when women, when they stop thinking about their baby or they stop feeling bad, it terrifies them because that's their connection to their child, that they feel bad about what they did. And if they stop feeling bad, that's a betrayal of the child. And that would indicate that maybe you need to go through the process of thinking through the subject, perhaps a little bit, even more than you already have. to work through that. You are not cutting yourself off from your baby if you no longer feel bad. How do I know? Because your baby is waiting for you in heaven. I am so fully convinced of that. Because I think there's 24 verses that point directly toward your child is safely in the arms of Jesus. So you don't have to feel like, oh, I don't love that child anymore, or I've turned my back on that child, or I'm going to be a stranger to that child. No, you're healing. You're healing. And your baby will be waiting for you when you get to heaven. So you do not need to feel bad about not feeling bad as you go about the business of healing. Now, what about imagining what life could have been? I don't think that's necessarily unhealthy. It can be if it debilitates you and it throws you into a tailspin. You might want to curb it for a bit until you maybe can do that. But I don't think that's necessarily unhealthy. But I would paint it in the context of eternity rather than wondering, oh, what would they be like if they were 16 now and today they'd be 25? What would that be like? You're going to experience better things with your child in heaven, because you're going to experience better things with everyone in heaven, because Jesus is going to be the centerpiece of it. So it's not necessarily a sin to imagine, but I would put it in the context of, I am going to experience those glorious things with my child. Now, probably not the maturation process, but you will be spending time with your baby in heaven, and that will be absolutely glorious and delightful. Jimmy, would you be so kind? Kim Jeffries.
Already done it.
Alrighty then.
We
Jimmy on the spot.
We are of the same mind.
All right. What's
her name is Kim Katola.
Are you sure you're comfortable with that?
Maybe not.
Yeah, I wouldn't be if I were you.
Her name is Kim Katola.
That's right.
Now. And
Kim Jeffries was mm-hmm. her radio name.
Okay. She's retired from radio.
Yeah.
But she wrote a book, Cradle My Heart, Finding God's
right.
Love After Abortion.
Right.
And she works through Support After Abortion. It's a ministry. It's a recovery, abortion recovery ministry.
Yeah. If they're still sound and everything, then I would commend that ministry to you. I would definitely check that out. In fact, I think Pastor too, you might want to have that reference available to you because it's very customized. Kim, she had an abortion many, many years ago. And so she knows about that which she speaks. It's biblical, it's sound, it's helpful, and it's healing. Good catch, Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
Good catch. Yeah, she retired from radio though. That's kind of a shame because she was good. She was like A-list good.
She just was not committed. Radio is my life.
It was her life. She was at KS95.
Huh.
And then she went to the smart station, WCCO. And if I'm not mistaken, did she go over to KTI? Well, how would you know? Did she go over to KTIS, the Christian station? I believe she did, but that was after I was fired.
And she was, it looks like she was in St. Cloud as well.
No, really?
WJON.
Well, that must have been closer to her home or something.
Okay.
Yeah, because she was on in the Twin Cities and she was an A-level broadcaster and her resources are good. She's actually in Life is Best. There's something else that you could go to for a resource. One of the episodes is specifically about this subject. So that's free also. You can find it at the Fortis app. It's fortisplus.org. It's totally free. You can go watch Life is Best. And that might be helpful for you too. Pastor, what you just heard is happening in your church. Do not think that you must avoid the subject of abortion. You must talk about the subject of abortion. The statistic of the number of women who are now Christians who have had an abortion is very high. And many women struggle with this. It's the big sin of their life. That just, it's a black cloud. And they oftentimes never feel like they are a 100% Christian. They're mostly a Christian, but not as much as everybody else because they've got that sin in their past. You need to address it. You need to joyfully proclaim to the woman who has had an abortion, who has repented and put their trust in Jesus Christ, you are white as snow. Your sins, they are gone. They are taken care of. Jesus didn't die for most sins. He died for all sins, and they will be ministered to you by your encouraging words that forgiveness is in Christ totally. 877-282-2337.
This is from Eric. Todd, altar calls, yes or no, and why?
No, because they're not in the Bible.
Next question.
How was that? Pretty good. All right. We've talked about this before, but we'll do the Cliff's Notes version of it. It's not something that we see in the Bible, so that doesn't mean that it couldn't be done. It's just instructive that we never see it in the Bible. And we also need to note, has anybody ever been saved from an altar call? Well, no, they were saved by the power of the Holy Spirit. But did it involve an altar call? Sure. But what are the statistics of altar calls? What are the statistics of altar calls? They're very poor. The number of people who walked an aisle perhaps multiple times, but then then backslid and indicating they were never in. And so I believe altar calls have created a fair amount of false converts. Furthermore, it can be confusing. What do I need to do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. If somebody gets the opinion, I know I've got to do it publicly. No, you don't. You have to do it quietly in the privacy of your own heart. That doesn't mean you should be ashamed, but it doesn't mean you have to do it publicly. And so I think that an altar call, it can confuse grace and works. So for those reasons, regarding the altar call, I'm out. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Let me ask you a question. Have you experienced any type of real change in the areas of your life that really need it the most? Or do you find yourself just getting by, just figuring out a way to manage to the next day? Look, a lot of people have gotten really good at managing their anger, managing their anxiety, managing the habits that they've formed, but management, it's not the same as transformation. That's why one of the world's leading podcasts today is Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. Greg is a professor at the Masters University and a fellow here at Fortis Institute as well. And his whole focus is helping people experience the kind of change that only comes through the sufficient Word of God. And this kind of content is only possible because of our gospel partners. If you've been blessed by our ministry, I would love to ask you to prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. I know you have questions about that, and we have answers at fortisinstitute.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. Be honest, when's the last time you shared the gospel with a stranger? Not posted something online, not liked a Christian meme, but actually opened your mouth and told someone about Jesus. If your stomach tightened just a little bit, you're not alone. Most Christians would rather do almost anything than evangelize. It's terrifying. What if they get mad? What if I say something wrong? What if they ask me a question I can't answer? Our resource, Terrified Too, it exists because Jesus gave us the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion, and He actually gave us the tools to obey it. And this resource will walk you through how to share the gospel with strangers, even family members, without needing Pepto-Bismol to get through it. You'll still be nervous, that's normal, but you'll also be equipped, and equipped beats terrified every single time. Terrified 2, it is streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. Download the app right now on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or head to fortisplus.org. Most men don't make one big decision that takes them off course. No, it happens gradually, and eventually you look up and you realize, I've been coasting for years. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson has created Walk Like a Man. It's available now on Fortis Plus. Dr. Tyson knows that's the story for way too many guys right now. And so he gets into God's Word and he lays out what it actually looks like to walk with wisdom and live with real conviction. And the way he teaches it, you'll walk away from every episode knowing exactly what to do and why it matters. This is biblical teaching that puts solid ground under your feet and gives you a clear path forward. It's streaming right now with new episodes dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus for free. Download the Fortis Plus app right now wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just go to fortisplus.org and walk like a man.
Lexicon. Faith is not a force we harness or a feeling we get. True biblical faith consists of three things: knowledge of the truth, agreement with the truth, and a trust in the true God. There is no power in faith itself. The power is in the one we put our faith in. Are you trusting in Christ or in something that cannot deliver?
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey Mo, this is Wretched Radio. It's stuck in my head. I need a pill. That's what I need. I need a pill because I suspect there's going to be one that's invented. We got a pill for every malady that there is. There's got to be a pill for earworms. I've got a song stuck in my head. It's driving me crazy. Don't worry. Take Blufnalia. Blufnalia. It'll get the earworm out of your head. Side effects may include. And then brace yourself because whatever you got, it's going to be worse with the side effects that you're going to get from, what did I call it? Blufnalia?
Your legs could fall off.
But at least I don't itch. I'm grateful for that. You know, speaking of the itching, I think that I would almost want to have some sort of a skin issue just so I could take the Skyrizi and be as happy as the people in the commercials. They just look delighted with life. Yeah, and I let's do a commercial for the ear. Blufnalia. Blufnalia. It's a man and he's got his head in his hands. Too predictable.
He's walking through a flower garden.
But it's black and white.
Okay.
And the flowers are all dead. They're all just bent over and dead.
Yeah.
And then, Blufnalia, it'll remove the earworm from your head in just 72 hours. And then gradually, the flowers start to come to life. And it goes from black and white to color. Blufnalia, yeah. Prepare to never feel anything in your feet again. You may get several forms of cancer. I just saw that one.
Oh, my goodness.
I think there's a lot of good stuff out there. And the odds of this versus that. I'm excited, genuinely excited about any sort of help with cancer that does not involve chemotherapy. Bring it on. Yeah. And there are some pills that do that. And I'm like, thank you, Lord, for that, because that's so much better. Immunotherapy is less, and not every cancer responds to that, but it's better than the chemotherapy. I'm telling you, I hope someday, and I mean soon, we're going to look back at chemotherapy and go, we did what? I know it can be effective, praise God, and if it worked for you, praise God. But wow, it's such a harsh cure for so many people. I just wish that the people that try without violating any sort of embryonic stem cell research principles that a line that shouldn't be crossed, you're trying to find cures to diseases, I say press on and make it snappy, especially with the cancer business. 877-282-2337.
All right, here's a question from Kenneth. Todd, I'm a single guy in my mid-20s, just moved to a new city a couple of months ago. I found a great theologically sound gospel preaching church, and I was invited to join the elders and some of the men in the church for some Sunday night poker.
Well, clearly not a Bible teaching church. I'm sorry, keep going.
For some Sunday night poker with a $5 buy-in. I really want and need to build community around me, but I feel like this is gambling, even though it's such a small amount. I've played poker before with no money involved, but my conscience is telling me it would be wrong to join in, but I don't want to turn down the opportunity for fellowship.
I can say this definitively, stop immediately until you get it sorted because you do not want to violate your conscience. That's like danger, Will Robinson. Don't do that. So, well, you might come to the point where you go, I don't think that it is a sin. Okay. But until then, if your conscience bothers you, then shut it down. Now, should it trouble your conscience? And the answer has some, I'm afraid it has some variables to it. Would any of us think that it is gambling if people were playing for matchsticks? I don't think so. What about a penny? Penny ante. Would that be a problem? I think most of us would say, I don't think so. It just makes it more of a competitive thing. It has a prize then that you're working toward. It makes the game more fun and exciting. I get that. But is there ever a time where their dollar amount crosses that line from just a fun competition into the issues that make gambling a sin? And I think there is. I'm not sure what that number is because it depends on the person playing, the bank account size, et cetera. But I think that there are some things where it would cross the line because it can start infecting your heart. Because if you're wanting to win because you want that kitty, then you could be being covetous and you're being greedy. You could become a lover of money. So it can cross that line. Furthermore, I think you've got the issue of stewardship. This gets tricky also because I know that God gives us discretionary funds and time to do with as we see fit, and that can just be fun activities. But even with fun activities, without getting crippled in decision-making when it comes to spending, If it's something that's a regular activity, I think we're wise on occasion to stop and go, is that money being used wisely as a good steward? Could I be giving that to my church? Could I be helping somebody out? Could I just be increasing my inheritance for my children? You got to wrangle through those things. So all that to say, I don't think that it has to be a sin. It can be a sin. If it's troubling your conscience, then it is a sin.
I'm probably going to go a little bit farther than you on this. I know the amount is small. $5 is a small amount.
Well, and see, I don't think so, but go ahead.
And it could be that the money is going to a ministry in the church. And I get that. I understand that. I would be very careful. I would be hesitant if I was a leader in this church to even go down that road. And the reason that I say that is because this is something that can be a stumbling block.
Yeah.
And it's something, even if it is just matchsticks, it might be fine for one man, but it may awaken something in another that masters them. And you just got to be careful with this kind of thing that can lead to something else.
I agree with that. And I think the bigger the dollar amount, the more that there's a likelihood of that happening. You know, there is another consideration in this that you kind of hinted at, Jimmy, and that is testimony. Hmm. If somebody in church found out that you're playing poker, they don't know the details. They're playing poker.
That's true.
Now, let's say that you're not, you just have to be mindful of this and sort through it. And maybe just doing it with discretion is important and not sharing it. But as soon as if somebody says, I'm playing poker, what image conjures in your brain? I'm seeing Robert Redford and Paul Newman.
Yeah.
Wow. What was that movie with the swipe on the nose? The begins with an S. I'm pretty certain. Where it was gambling and back room and horse racing.
Yeah, that's all.
And please help me.
I don't know.
Look at Paul Newman and Robert Redford. It's Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Great movie. A great soundtrack to boot. Excellent. Like maybe one of the best soundtracks ever. But then it was the strike, the stink, the bamboozle. It begins with an S. I'm pretty certain it was a movie in the 70s.
The sting.
Stink.
Sting. S-T-I-N-G.
What the K-G. I was close enough.
Potato, potato.
That's what comes, to mind for me.
Yeah.
That there's probably high stakes involved and it is gambling. So you do need to be mindful of testimony. Now, what do I do with all of that? What do I do with all? Could it be that you can play it without sinning? Could it be that there's money involved and you're not sinning? Yes. Do I need to? I want to be as far away from the line of sin as possible. I want to make sure that I never do anything that's going to cause somebody to stumble. You have liberty to do these things. And I don't think that we should make a law where there is no law. But if it is something that if your church heard about and they'd go, huh, and your character would even be brought into question, ask yourself, is there maybe another way we could have fellowship and do something? Do horseshoes. Nobody thinks, you're a lecherous gambler because you play horseshoes or jarts. I think
what
jarts.
Is jarts? I've never heard of that.
Jarts. They're lawn darts.
Oh.
Jarts. Did I ever tell you that I got hit in the head with a dart?
No.
Thrown by my brother.
Oh, wow.
I'm still working through it. 877-2, right in the temple, right there. There's still a little hole in my head, and I'm not kidding. 877-282. But that's not as bad as being shot in the foot with a .22.
You were shot in the foot with a .22?
Mm-hmm.
By?
Yourself. I wish you wouldn't bring it up. It didn't have the pellet in. It was just the air.
Okay. Well, that's
okay,
not so bad.
Okay. Would you like to walk into my world for a moment? You're going to want to run right out the door. I'm just telling you. Was talking to my brother about this because I thought it was my other brother who shot me in the foot with a .22. And he said, Todd, that wasn't your brother. And well, who shot me in the foot? That was your dad.
Oh.
I think I need biblical counseling now.
It's Dave and you need him.
I could use it was like, you got it. You're kidding me. No, no. He was on another bender and he thought that would be interesting to see what it did to human flesh. And so you can look, I think it's on my, I can't remember which foot it's on, but the scar is there. You can definitely see it. I do remember it like sort of like kind of grainy because it just blew the skin open and it bled like nobody. I know you didn't ask for any of this. So my apologies for offering it up. The question of whether or not you can take advantage of your liberty needs to be considered wisely. And if you conclude, you know what, I can just find a better way to do this and have this result of fellowship that I want with my local church, I would seek that out because, yep, you've got liberty, but liberty sometimes means a willingness to not take advantage of that liberty. And until tomorrow, I'll be getting counseling. Go serve your king.